Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting from magnificent Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful and thankful that you've joined me today from all over the world, that you have invited me into your home, into your hearts, you know, really into the private spaces of your being. And I believe that your life will never be the same after hearing this show today. Well, how you doing today? Hope you're having an awesome day. You know, that is a decision. Every day when you get up, you, no matter what you feel like, you say, wow, today is going to be a great day for me. Well, I'm doing really great. We are really excited here in Atlanta because the Atlanta Falcons are going to the Super Bowl. And for my international clients, I know many of you guys love soccer, but here in the U.S., we do love soccer. But we're also quite ecstatic about football. So the city is really vibrant. We're excited. Everybody has on their red and black. And so that's what's going on here. I'm doing really well. I was just so grateful. And speaking of gratitude, today I have a very interesting show, three parts. Really, I'm going to be talking a little bit about gratitude at the very beginning. And then one of my clients is going to share with you, well, he's not really a client, but he contracted me to come and be the keynote speaker and to do some leadership training with psychologists, counselors, therapists. He's going to share that experience with you. And then Jill Lublin will be here talking about the profit of kindness. Did you know that you could become wealthy in your business by just being kind? Aha. So, you know, you better stay tuned. Let's see here. So I also want to remember to tell you, you know, this show is all about hope, giving you hope, but also how to's. I kind of like that H&H, hope and how to's. I know that was kind of corny. That just came to my mind. Is to give you inspiration, but also strategies. You know, God is very strategic. This week I watched National Geographic, and I mean, man, it is so interesting, the birds and the animals. And aren't you amazed at how animals have certain innate instincts and abilities? It's just amazing. And what it shows me is how strategic God is. And so how much more with your own life right now? God has a customized blueprint and a strategic plan for your life. And really, that's what this show is all about. So I'm going to be talking to you really quickly about, you know, just gratitude. And all of this really is a result of my show from last week. If you hadn't heard last week, you got to go back and listen to it. When one of my clients, April, shared her story. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Before I go to that, if you would like for me to coach you live, wouldn't that be exciting? In any area of your life, email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and let's talk about it, okay? And also visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have all of my products there. You know, I'm going to be teaching about love, how to attract love, in a couple of weeks. I have a great book that if you are single, you need to get that book, Attracting Genuine Love. That's 20 years worth of my own personal experience, as well as working with over 10,000 clients. So you can get that while you're on the website. And of course, I want to thank you in advance for your donations, as I know that this show is a blessing to you. It is changing your life. It's shifting your thinking. So this week I received an email from a listener. I'm not going to read it all, but this is what she said. Constance, I was very moved by your client's story last week. She's talking about April, especially when she talked about how she made a big deal out of everything, no matter how small it seemed. I realized from that story that I am a constant complainer and a whiner and need to be more grateful. I was struck by the fact that she was grateful for her fluffy dog, when sometimes I complain about having to walk the family dog. I also noticed how grateful she was for you meeting her for lunch. And I realized that I even had taken for granted how powerful your show has been for me every week. Each week I wait for your show to be downloaded, and it always inspires me. I've never even written you a thank you letter. There were times when I felt down, and just one thing that you or your guest said really made a difference in my entire week. I just love it when you say, "What would that look like for my listeners?" I do say that all the time. That always makes it easy for me to use in my life. So I just want to say thank you so much, and thank you for having April to share her testimony last week. And April was very powerful, and she shared a powerful principle around being grateful. And today we're basically talking about gratitude and then kindness and how those things can change your life. So let me just share just a little bit with you, and then I'm going to give you some things to do this week. All right. Well, you know, Harvard Medical Center did this report. All of us have heard studies on the power of gratitude and thankfulness, etc. So they had three groups. One group was asked to write things they were grateful for every day. So they wrote it down. So a second group wrote about everything that got on their nerves, you know, that sort of was irritating to them, that displeased them. And the third group wrote about events that had affected them, with really no emphasis on whether they were positive or negative. So what happened was, and none of us are surprised at this, right? After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic. They felt better about their lives. They exercised more and had fewer visits to the doctor. And they seemed to focus on what was good in their lives. Now, that's from Harvard Medical Center, but we already knew that. So what this listener wrote into me was that April, who was my client that I shared last week, focus in on what she had. If she had a conversation with her mother, she made it really big, because that's the law of attraction. When you're grateful and focus in on what's good in your life, more comes to you. Gratitude is the great multiplier. It multiplies. So really, gratitude is just about focus. So let me give you an example of money. See, I believe that you can get wealth in your life just by being thankful. I'm a living witness about that. Okay, and so a great example about money is in the Bible, when Jesus had, I think it was two loaves. It was five fishes and two loaves. You guys know what I'm talking about. It wasn't enough to feed 5,000, but he raised it up. And he said, "God, thank you that you hear me." So what was he doing? He was really being grateful for the small amount that he had, because it wasn't enough to feed the 5,000. Maybe what you have is not enough to pay your bills for this month. Maybe it's not enough to get that new car. But when you raise up your vision, when you raise up your thinking, when you're grateful for what you do have, more begins to multiply in your life. You know, a great example of that would be me. I don't know, 20 something years ago when I didn't have a lot of money, I remember digging in my purse and I just had pennies. I was making a lot of money, but it might have been in between paychecks. That's when I was living paycheck to paycheck living. God did not create you to live paycheck to paycheck living. And I remember I was digging in one of my purses. Anybody ever done that before? Guys, you don't have big purses like we do. And I remember I just began to be grateful for the pennies that I had. I was grateful for what I had. And I've learned that over the years. And in my life, large sums of money have come to me when I am grateful and certainly a good steward over what I do have. So what am I doing? I am focusing in on what I do have. And that begins to multiply in my life. When I didn't have any clients 20 years ago, remember the example that I gave, that I had a big old school calendar that I put on the wall and I just made up names and I began to be grateful and thankful even before those clients showed up. So those of you who are in business, be grateful and thankful for your sales before they show up. Be grateful and thankful for that one client that you do have and treat him or her with kindness. All right. So that's just an example of how gratitude can multiply your life. April was grateful for her fluffy dog. She was grateful when she had a great conversation with her mom. She was grateful for every little thing. And so the more you whine and complain, the more your good stays away from you. So your assignment for this week is, I want you to write down an everyday blessing you've noticed that you've just sort of taken for granted. It might be electricity that you have, or that you have a wonderful fireplace, or that you have clean running water. So write down an everyday blessing that you've just sort of forgotten about, but people in other places would really be grateful for that. Name someone you're grateful to have in your life and write down why. It might mean I'm grateful to have my husband. He's so considerate. He makes me coffee in the morning, etc. I'm grateful for my job, my boss, who's so understanding. So you're going to write down the name of someone you're grateful to have in your life and why. And then I'm going to say send them an email or a text to let them know how grateful you are. So what are you doing? You're taking your attention off of what you don't have onto what you do have. And when you do that, more good is multiplied in your life. Next thing, describe something that happened in the past that you didn't feel grateful for at that time. We all have those, don't we? But now you look back on that moment or you look back at that event with gratitude. It might be that you were laid off, and as a result of that, you now have a multi-million-dollar business. It might be a result that you went through a divorce, and as a result of that, you created a nonprofit organization. So you're going to describe something that happened to you in the past that didn't feel good at the time, but now you are extremely grateful for it. So I also want you to describe a moment when you felt grateful in real time. What emotions did you feel? For example, in your life, maybe you had a birthday recently and people attended your surprise birthday party that you had not seen in years, and you were so happy and grateful that all of those people took out time to attend your party. Okay, what did that emotion feel like? And so Why are we doing this? We are doing this so that we can continually and consistently, and I'm going to say intentionally, align our thinking and our feeling in the area of gratitude. And you've heard me say this maybe 100 times, but I never get tired of saying it. Almost everyone that I interview and I ask them, what's the one thing? They all say, be grateful for what you have while you are on your way to what you desire. That's why in my own life personally, I'm already thanking God and being grateful for what's to come. Thank you for this. I'm grateful for that. And even when you do that, when you're grateful and you're thankful, it's a sign of faith. You're saying to the universe, I believe that this is coming into my life. And the more you say it and you see it and you feel it, it begins to come into your life. So that is my assignment for you for this week. Remember, it's not just what you hear that changes your life, it's what you actually do. So I want you guys to email me and let me know how this exercise has really helped you, because everything that I do, I am doing it to align you with the good that God has in store for you. Okay, so let's go to a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be back with Michael and then later on with Jill. So stay tuned.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm back, and I have a very special guest all the way from Connecticut. And most of the time, you hear me talking about my coaching. But as many of you know, I am a keynote speaker. I have spoken in many Fortune 500 companies, Delta Airlines. You can go on my website and take a look at that. And for about 5 years, I traveled all over conducting leadership training and platform speaking. And so one of my listeners contacted me and he said, Constance, I want you to come to Connecticut and do this leadership training for my organization. And I just wanted him to come on and share his experience about what happened, what did it look like, what did the participants think, what was the feedback, so that you could see that I would just love to come to your organization, your company, your church, and be the keynote speaker for you and really partner with you to create an extraordinary event. So, Michael, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Constance. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Well, I just wanted you to come on and share your experience in working with me. You did not know me. You are a listener, and I'm going to let you take it from there. What made you reach out to me? What was the experience like, et cetera?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay.
So my background is, yes, I am absolutely one of your faithful fans and listeners. So I've been a fan of your work for a while now. So on a personal level, I was really transformed by all that you do with your radio show and all your information you have on your website. So I kind of went into this with a strong background and having been personally really transformed by what you do. So for the folks listening out there, I work at a behavioral health organization on a federal grant. So our grant really aims to connect young adults in the community to innovative recovery supports, whether it be for substance use or mental health related challenges. So we do that through innovative peer specialists and family advocacy. So we're really all about merging the best of clinical care with innovative, really heart-centered lived experience. So from that, we were planning on hosting a a conference, and really the ball was in sort of my court, and that as the coordinator, my supervisors kind of let me take the lead on this. And so when it came around, I immediately thought of you, Constance, because I know you're such a powerful woman and was Thank so eager you. To see what you could do for us.
And, you know, you contacted me and, you know, you kind of told me what the deliverables were. And then I had to write a mini proposal because I think there were other people involved. And I wrote my proposal and we both were praying, right, Michael?
We were, yes. And yes. So, and you were awesome about the whole process and so patient, and that there was sometimes some red tape to go through and getting approval from different management tiers. But you were so open and gracious about really working with me on us asking questions and me giving you information. And you were great about reading everything. So you were really clear from the get-go on what our mission and values were.
Well, you know, I'm accustomed to working with governmental agencies. I understand proposals and bids and deliverables and really aligning that proposal with the mission statement or, you know, or the objectives of that particular organization. So we submitted that, and I kind of said, well, God, whatever your will is, I felt like I was supposed to be there. And then I got that famous email saying, Constance, you're approved.
I was so excited that you can't even imagine, because I the whole time was just thinking, oh, how cool would it be to meet Constance? How cool would it be for her to actually get it? And really, it turned out just like we both imagined. I mean, perfect.
Yeah.
And just so the folks at home, the intended audience for the training, it really was a training for all people. It was really a blend of clinicians, therapists, state workers, young adults who may be unemployed, trying to find their own way, young adults who are working in the recovery field. So really, you're hitting everyone in the same room with the same material.
And, you know, I did have to develop a PowerPoint and, you know, just material and handout. And so I did all of that, emailed it to Michael and his crew. And of course, you know, there were a couple of last minute changes. Remember, I had to change one of the partners. I had you guys as the sole sponsor of the program. And of course, we had to change that. But then on that wonderful day, I flew to Connecticut. And I'm just going to let you tell the listeners what the experience was like with me.
Absolutely. So the basis of your training was it was called Transformational Change, Practicing Self-Care While Serving Others. And that is such a powerful title because it's what was so needed in that, again, we are all about getting the how-tos, which is what you're really known for, Constance, and that our audience is really so hungry for, you know, the roots, not just grabbing life by the stems of what's growing on underneath there. So really trying to find out, again, really just the basics and advanced methods of self-care on where have we been as people, as a community, as a human race, and what can we do to really move forward and thrive and really access a greater human potential in all of us. So you were just so awesome with really connecting with the entire audience. You know, we had, you know, a couple of young ladies in the front who really were moved by what you said. And
yeah.
I think the beautiful thing about you is that you were so adaptable through the whole process, and that you were serious when the moment called for it to really either comfort someone or really be direct with them. We were also so humorous and fun, which is what really drew people in as well. In that, you know, this training and your delivery was unexpected in an amazing way, because a lot of people, especially in my 2 years in this role, you can go through a lot of ordinary trainings and events that leave you kind of ho-hum. And so having your energetic spirit was just so refreshing, and your professionalism and again, your PowerPoint, as you said, was amazing. You know,
it was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, it was off the chain, really. You know, the lady who does my PowerPoint, she amazes me. I'm stunned at what she does.
Absolutely.
It was so amazing. And, you know, Micah, I really connected because I realized that people don't want boring training. I always say boring, but it has to be, you have to connect with people. They have to feel you. It has to be participatory. They have to feel a part of. It just can't be lecturing. And I think my years on the road, 5 years on the road, doing platform and leadership training, I learned that. And because I have been in the social services field for years, I was coming from my heart, and they felt that.
Absolutely. And I think the number one takeaway, too, was how much you gave of your time, your energy, your resources, and that we worked together, I'd say, a lot behind the scenes to really make sure every angle was covered, every, you know, checkbox was crossed off, no detail unturned. And I think what was so apparent, too, is just your gracious spirit, and that you stayed, you came down early, you stayed late after it ended, you talked with participants, you really made yourself available, which we've hosted other events, and I can tell you other presenters did not do that. And so just seeing how humble yet how confident you were really drew people to you. And the feedback was just phenomenal. We had to do an official survey, and really, you got all amazing 5 out of 5. Truly,
thank you.
Knocked it out of the park.
Thank you. And I got other possible invitations from that. And for me, it's about coming to serve and leaving people with something, a tangible how to, a tangible strategy that they can really execute in their organization. Not just inspiration and motivation, but really, I really made it strategic.
Yeah, and to add on that too, you really sent us some great worksheets. So we were able to print them all out for every audience member. So beyond listening to your training, everyone came home with a packet of information that you walked us through, so you can they can continue the work on their own time, which was awesome.
Right, I forgot about that, Mike. So is there anything else you want to share? I mean, I love the people. I really connected with them, and that's what I do when I'm training. I refuse to just stand on a platform and train. I want to connect with people personally and professionally, but connect with people with strategies, with how-tos, and with practical ways to execute what was said in the training sessions. So what would you say to somebody who might be on a committee? Because you were on the committee, right? Mm-hmm. who might be on the committee, who might be putting together an event for 2017? What would be your response to them about contacting me to be their keynote or to train for them?
Without a doubt, contact Constance. I could not recommend you enough. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, in that people still come up to me when I'm out in the community, different events, and they'll say, oh, I loved your conference. Oh, please do another one. And I actually had an email a couple of weeks ago from someone, and I gave them your information and said, please let me know if you need anything else. So really, you just brought so much of who you were as a person, both personally and professionally. And I think just your integrity and
thank you.
The value. I think you definitely brought a lot of value. And I just, again, that servant heart you talk about, it was evident from, you know, from really planning through process, the entire thing. And there was so much value in what you bring. So I couldn't recommend you enough.
Well, thank you. And I just appreciate you reaching out to me. And you guys, I mean, you just treated me like royalty. I had all kind of green drinks, and, you know, I had 5 green drinks for one day, you know, and water and fruit and, you know, everything else that my heart desired. And I was just grateful to be able to do it, because really my gift is connecting with people one-on-one, with groups and with the large organizations, giving them the information, but additionally the strategies and the how-tos. And it was an honor for me to serve, Michael, and I just appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Constance. Thank you so much.
Okay, everybody, just stay tuned and I'll be right back.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm back and I'm really excited about my guest. My guest is Jill A. Lublin, and she's an international speaker. And she is the author of three books, best-selling books, actually, Get Noticed, Get Referrals, and the co-author of Guerrilla Publicity and Networking Magic. She is very successful. She is a master strategist. She has helped over 10,000 people doing her career. She has appeared on the stages with such fabulous folks as Tony Robbins, Richard Simmons, and Jack Canfield. And guess what? She has a new book out, The Profit of Business. She's going to talk to us about how we can get the world back on track by bringing kindness back to the business world. So excited to have her. So Jill, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here with you, Constance.
Well, good. We're getting to know each other because we had previously tried to do this, but all things are in divine order. So I'm so excited about your book, The Profit of Kindness. And just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and why you wrote this book.
Sure. Well, you know, I have, as you mentioned, three other books. And what I realize is how important kindness is to business. And I just something inspired me. I mean, I can tell you the exact what inspired me, but certainly I got inspired to write a book to spread more kindness in business, to know that it actually works in business to help you create more money, more prospects, more customers. And it's just the right thing to do. And certainly our world needs more kindness now more than ever. So that was my inspiration. I've been helping people with publicity for, gosh, close to 24 years. I help people get book deals and, you know, because I'm in the world of publishing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting to me that kind companies are usually more well known. Mm-hmm. You know, they have more publicity.
And so I know in your book, you did some research. I just love science and research. What did you find out about kindness?
Well, here's what's interesting. Those companies and people that are more kind, number one, tend to make more money. Number two, are certainly happier and usually more healthy. Their relationships are better. So, you know, all around the board, if we were to draw a circle in every area, people and companies who are kind do better, live better, love better, you know, have just better lives. And that's a common thread. That is a common thread across the research. So companies who are more kind have employees who are more productive, who are more committed. Their costs are less because, frankly, their employees aren't leaving, which unfortunately mm-hmm. happens when people aren't happy, you know? So that's something that just I've noticed is another thing with kindness.
Well, you know, just in our thinking, we haven't been taught, you know, that the two go together, you know, being kind and making money. And I don't know if it's in the intro of your book. I think you said move over cash. Kindness is king. Is that what you said? I love that phrase.
I know. Isn't that fun? That is how the book opens. Yes. Move over cash. Now, what's fun and what's fabulous is that kindness will make you more cash. That's never why we do it. Okay. We mm-hmm. do kindness for the sake of kindness. It is one of those values that we all understand, appreciate, and that we know when it's happening. And so it's not for a reason that you do kindness. But interestingly enough, if you look at companies and commercials, the tendency is toward promoting this concept called kindness. I love that.
that's a brilliant idea. And so you have seven ways or seven pathways or seven characteristics of kindness and how people in business can utilize this and really profit from it. And also people who are in just the business of managing their own lives, who just may be in a career, they can also use this concept, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, kindness is the kind of thing every company can use, every individual can use, whether you're in business for yourself, a solopreneur, or, you know, you're a mom, as, you know, helping your kids in school. I mean, you got to be talking to your kids about kindness. In fact, I was on a Fox Network channel this week for the book launch, and one of the reporters goes, you know, I always talk to my kids about kindness and how important it is. That's something we talk about every day. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful thing, right?
Well, you know, I live in Atlanta, which is the busiest airport in the world. And I was at the airport, and it was just kind of crazy. It was the day that we had 1 inch of snow. And you know what happens in Atlanta when we just have 1 inch of snow. And I mean, this lady, I mean, people were just screaming at her because our flights had been canceled. And I walked up to her, and it was certainly authentic. I said, wow, I know you're having a tough time, right? And I said, you didn't have anything to do with this weather. I appreciate your effort. And, you know, because of that, she upgraded me to first class. So that's just great. And so she said, I appreciate you being so kind. And that's just an example in my own life. And then she said, I'm going to give your business, you know, some extra points. And so that was an example of me just as an individual, just being kind. And I just share that example because I want people to know who are not in business that they can use this same universal principle to really change their own lives.
Got it. Yes, I love that. And that would be so important.
So let's talk about these seven pathways to kindness. Share some of those with our listeners.
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, one of them is flexibility. You got to be flexible in today's world. And what that looks like is the opportunity to, you know, if somebody misses an appointment, for instance, yesterday I'm a consultant, mm-hmm. and I had an appointment with someone, and when she showed up for her call, I noticed she felt very distracted, and I asked a few questions, and she was distracted, and she was a bit stressed, and all these things were going on, and then she admitted she hadn't really done the assignments that we had agreed upon in between. And, you know, I said, why don't we make our call for another time? She goes, you're not going to charge me for this? I said, no, I'm not, because, you know, why don't you take a moment and we'll get back together another time. So that'll be great. And, you know, you have to be flexible. I think that's really important. Patience is another important product of one of the pathways to kindness. And, you know, it's so interesting, Constance, when I was writing the patience chapter, everything in my life showed up to test my patience.
I bet.
It was like, all right, go ahead, write a chapter on this. Let's see. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. And, you know, patience is key. I mean, especially in today's fast-paced world, we all got a lot going on. And I'm finding if I slow down sometimes, it's actually so much better. And certainly if I'm patient in my reaction to others. So I, you know, and in fact, we talk about this in Profit of Kindness. Breathing. take a deep one there. You know, breathing. I mean, you know, take a moment before you fire off an email or a response to someone and keep it so that it's simple. And just take a moment. And I think we have so much opportunity to, shall we say, miscommunicate with email and text and the rapid rate everyone's going, including me, mm-hmm. I might add. And, you know, I lost a friendship one time in a quick reaction in an email. And now the good news is that friendship has come back. Mm-hmm. But what I realized was, you know, and I said to her, I'm never going to send an email again like that. I'm just going to talk. You know, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to talk. So I just think that's important. And then generosity, you know, being generous of spirit, seeing where you can share, that's really important. Connection is one of the pathways to kindness. You know, it's interesting because we're all so connected. we've in a way become very disconnected. And what I'm finding is people want to be connected with now more than ever. Yeah. That means, you know, handwritten thank you notes is one of my favorite ways to connect. Pick up the phone and let people hear your voice. You know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, we can handle a lot of other things through other ways, but I think it is really important to connect often. So those are some of them.
So you mentioned generosity. So in business, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm not going to do any pro bono kinds of things. I'm about making money. So should people give? Is that a sign of kindness? And will they receive profit from that eventually? What about the power of giving without expecting anything back?
Absolutely. You know, it is so important to give, and particularly in the area of kindness, without expectation. Kindness is given because it's in the moment and needed. Yes, there are companies who are doing campaigns and kindness campaigns, and that's a beautiful thing. But I think on a day-to-day basis, kindness is done because it's the right thing to do.
And so you also mentioned connection, and I believe people are starving for that. And so are you saying that when companies or individuals or entrepreneurs or people in business really connect with people, that produces a feeling of kindness and ultimately brings profit into their lives?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing, you know, talk about the science of it, that the kind companies are getting more clients and customers. I mean, I think we can all feel when we walk into a store or use an airline, for instance. You know, I've noticed certain airlines are definitely kinder than others. One of the reasons I love and fly Southwest is not only because of the free baggage, which, of course, I love that. But, you know, they're also kind. I remember one time I was on my way to a consulting assignment and to speak for a corporation, and I got sick the day before and couldn't quite fly in. Now, usually an airline will charge you a change fee and then add in the extra ticket price. And although Southwest has a little bit more flexibility on that, which is, by the way, flexible, remember that? One of the pathways to kindness. But usually they'll charge you the extra amount for the ticket. Well, guess what? I got on the phone and she said, you know, Ms. Lublin, I see you're a constant flyer with us and we so appreciate your business. You know, I'm just going to waive that as a one-time courtesy. And the truth is, it wasn't the first time, but she did it. And she did it out of kindness and compassion, all compassion, another great pathway to kindness that we talk about in the book. So do you think I'm a major fan of Southwest? Of course
Absolutely.
I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and here we are talking about them on air. Is that great publicity? Absolutely.
Right.
Are they a successful company, I might add? Absolutely.
And they're fun. They're fun. And I had my first experience with them last year, and I really enjoyed it. It was different for me. And their employees always seem happy and playful. And to me, that was really, really important. Really important. So what about somebody who might be working on a team or on a committee? How can they fuel that team with their kindness?
So, you know what I've noticed, because I do some corporate coaching with teams, and one of the things we're doing is using kindness to increase effectiveness and team comfort, so to speak. And what I'm noticing is a lot of teams are not kind to each other. There's bullying, there's upset from the boss top down, and then teams aren't doing well together. So when we bring kindness to our communications inside of teams, guess what happens? The communication in the team opens up, the effectiveness increases, the work gets better, the productiveness increases, and of course revenues go up because the team's happy and they're working together to support each other. So we found a big difference in kindness with teams. And in fact, I just got referred to a mechanical engineering firm who, you know, the woman said to me, they are just so unkind to each other. And, you know, they're not getting any work done. So we need you, kind of thing. So that's, you know, I think there are certain industries that happens in, but certainly kindness will help the team to be far more effective.
Well, you know, I've listened to you on YouTube, and I know that you do have just all kinds of downloads on is it Messages of Hope? Do you feel like God gave you this download about kindness to really help temper what's going on globally in the world?
Well, you know, thank you for that question. Mm-hmm. I really think I do because, you know, Messages of Hope was the first inspiration for me, and I actually had a conference related to it. With this book, I'm going to do a Kindness Hall of Fame awards ceremony. So we start giving awards out to companies who are kind. And yes, I think I've been inspired and motivated to do this and have a calling to support others. And, you know, it's interesting, Constance, in the Prophet of Kindness, the book deadline was so fascinating to me because with three other books, I've usually had 18 to 24 months to produce them for my publisher. Mm-hmm. This book, I got the contract and had to have it done in 3 months for production within 9 months. So interestingly enough, it came out right in the middle of the whole administration change and all the mudslinging and all the terrible problems we've been having in the world with lack of kindness and disrespect and, you know, problems with hate and prejudice and all kinds of other things. So I don't think that was any accident either that, you know, I thought to myself when my publisher told me my deadlines, I thought, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean 9 months? And I felt fairly breathless this whole time trying to get it done. But now I understand why, because it had to come out during this time.
You know, I agree. When I read it, I thought about that this is great medicine, not only for the U.S., but, you know, but just for the world, actually. And so speaking of the world and just the global seemingly unrest, how can we take the principles in your book and really help to heal, mend everything that's going on that had just happened in the U.S. and people have such emotional hype feelings about it? How can we use kindness to really temper that?
Well, so I think, you know, the biggest thing is lots of small things. Mm-hmm. And that means, you know, when you see the woman struggling with the baby buggy, you know, get in front of her and open the door, carry someone's packages. I heard a wonderful kindness story the other day from my friend in Reno, Nevada, and she passed a woman shoveling snow who, you know, looked like she wasn't doing a very good job of it. And she stopped, got out of her car and said, "May I help you do that?" And next thing you know, the neighbor across the street came over and helped them do that. And the three of them got the job done literally in probably a third of the time. And then the woman calls her up and goes, "Hey, I made some oatmeal cookies. Come on over. I want to give you some cookies." And turns out this woman's looking to buy a house, and this woman knows another woman who wants to sell her house, and away we go, right? That simple act of kindness led to neighborly discussions and closeness, the more close connections in the neighborhood. It led to helping her with something she needed. But more importantly, it just helped someone that day who was a bit in a struggle and needed some support.
Yeah. What would you say is really an act of kindness that really profited your own life personally? Something that was a powerful force in your life that might have shifted and changed your life? And I'm asking for that example because I want our listeners to hear this so that they can begin to implement it in their own lives, their own city, their own country, wherever they are.
So, and I apologize. Ask me that one question again.
Okay.
It just flipped out.
Okay. Come back, Jill. What is the one act of kindness that you've experienced in your own life that's really impacted you?
Thank you.
I know you've had many.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the first story in the book, Prophet of Kindness, which is my coach. I believe in coaching. I keep people around me who are helping me and, well, on the way to a speaking engagement, I actually fell and fractured both ankles in multiple places at once. I'm like, oh my gosh. I ended up in a wheelchair for 5 months. I couldn't do a thing. I couldn't drive. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't really do anything. I couldn't cook. Okay, maybe that was my favorite part. I couldn't get in the shower. I mean, nothing, because both my ankles were in casts. And I had to have a caregiver. It was a tough, tough time, really. And I called up my coach because, of course, my income became limited. I couldn't really work much. I certainly couldn't fly around and help companies like I normally do or speak for a living. And I said, you know what, you know, thank you so much. I got to stop our coaching. I can't quite afford it. And he goes, I won't have that. No way. I'm going to coach you and you're going to get back on your feet and it's really okay. I'm going to make sure you're, you know, back to work. And by golly, he did that. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been coaching with that man for 12 years now. Do you think, now he's a great coach. Let me say, that's why I keep renewing and re-upping. But part of that is because of who he is as a person, because of his care for people and his true ability, not only to help and so intelligent, but truly his caring for others.
Right. You know, that's very powerful. And I wanted people to hear that story because I've had so many people who really was kind to me and how profitable just that one act in my life shifted, you know, and just changed my life. Because once again, I think it's a paradigm shift where people are not just thinking money or branding or sales or prospects, but when you do implement kindness, it looks like all of those things happen for you.
Exactly. You got it.
Wow. Just amazing. And so do you think that kindness is spirituality?
You know, interestingly enough, I mean, it's in the Bible. It's at the basis of every religion. It's certainly the basis of all spirituality. And I think of spirituality is way beyond religion. So my answer is yes. And, you know, really look at the Dalai Lama. He said, my religion is kindness.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes, he did. And look at his people. I mean, they have been, you know, violated and chased out of their country. And he has always maintained a stance of kindness, of respect, no matter what. I mean, and he's not only a religious leader, but he is a world leader, a spiritual leader, a legend, really. And I just am fascinated by that, right? With somebody whose people have been tortured and kicked out of their land, and it goes on and on, right? Has said, my religion is kindness. Now that is spirituality. And I think, you know, yes, kindness is all about spirituality, and spirituality absolutely involves kindness at its premise and at its base.
And, you know, and then lastly, I know you do talk about going from what can I get to what can I give. Expound on that, especially for entrepreneurs. I was talking to someone today and he said, Constance, I just want to be a multimillionaire. I just want to take the leap. And, you know, and it was all about branding and all about that. And I just share with him, you know, just some of the principles from your book, and that if he would serve, you know, in an excellent spirit, that money and prospects and sales will come to him. So what would you say to listeners about going from what can I get to what can I give?
You know, listen, in today's world, it's fine to need and want things. And that's really okay to ask for what you need and want. I'm perfectly good with that. I also think coming from a place called how can I help and what can I give will actually, usually, funny enough, get you far more than you ever could just get normally, right? But most importantly, I notice when I walk into a networking room and I think about what can I give? Who can I help? That's actually in my book, Networking Magic. And I practice that. I'm like, okay, I take a deep breath before I go into a networking event and I focus on what do I want to create and accomplish? And I outline three primary goals, one of which is who can I help? How can I serve? And that's the attitude I go in with. And that's where I come from in terms of the giving. And, you know, am I seeking and asking for maybe something particular? Because I do think it's important to get clear on what you'd like to ask for. I think that's perfectly great. And it's a very kind thing to do, by the way, because it's a very specific request, and then people can meet it and they feel good, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But going in with the giving attitude makes a world of difference.
So what's the vision that you have for your book, The Prophet of Kindness?
Well, besides wanting it in the hand of every single person in the world, what I really want is for kindness to, like the Dalai Lama says, be a new religion. I want kindness to be a movement. I want kindness to be at the base of every person's action. And to come from that place then creates a world that is gentler to live in, easier to navigate, and certainly far more wonderful to actually, you know, have day-to-day worldly things happen. You know, this is a tough time. I think we can all agree about that. And what I know is that kindness will make a huge difference. And to be in the practice of conscious acts of kindness. You know, people say random acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. I say practice conscious acts of kindness and watch what the miracles that start occurring in your life.
And that's nothing but the truth. And, you know, I just thought it was so ironic that I'm interviewing you during this time, because when I read your book, I'm like, this woman needs to go to Washington, D.C. and just talk to governmental leaders. And my prayer for you, because I have done a lot of research on you, is that just unbelievable doors will open for you, because truly you have a message from God, no doubt.
Oh, thank you. That touches my heart. Thank you.
So tell listeners, and I'm going to really encourage all of you, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're thinking about business, you're in business. I feel like this is a great tool. I've read her book. I love the research in there, and she has all kinds of stories that she shares, but a lot of how-tos that you can begin implementing in your life, in your career, and in your business. So, Jill, how can people get your book?
Thank you. You go to prophetofkindness.com. That's P-R-O-F-I-T, by the way. Prophetofkindness.com, and go check that out, or any bookstore near you. Also, if I can help you in any way with your publicity or getting book deals or something that you need to get your world out there, or perhaps you have a speaking engagement lead, to let me know, to support, SUPPORT, at jilllublin.com. That's JILLLUB as in boy, LIN.com. Support at jilllublin.com. And let me know how I can help you, or tell us your kindness story. We'd love to hear from you.
Jill, it's been an honor to speak with you. You're so kind, authentic, and real, and it's been an honor. And in closing, what would you like to say to people all over the world today?
Well, the first thing is to practice conscious acts of kindness, mm-hmm. and to know that your message matters. Your message mm-hmm. matters. Go out and spread it. Spread the kindness, spread your message.
So true. Wow. Thank you so much, Gia. Well, once again, everybody, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Of course, you can visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And as I say every week, God loves you. You know I'm crazy about you, and I love you. And let's say it together. Today is the best day of my life. Make it a great week.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tale. Toyota. Let's go places.
Imagine the possibilities starting with the letters SL and P. Imagine a super lavish penthouse. A stimulating little plunge in a serene lap pool. And imagine sailing lovely places with several lively parrots. All because you're some lucky person. Discover your SL and P with Super Lotto Plus from the California Lottery. Now until June 30th, buy five plays, get one free. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to play. Visit calottery.com for official rules.